Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps when you hear this account of the birth of our Savior from Matthew's Gospel, you're a little bit disappointed. Oh, that sounds so boring. No little town of Bethlehem, no shepherds coming in from the fields, no angels singing in the sky. It's just different. It's not the same Christmas story that we're used to hearing. And that's true because there is a difference between how Luke records how the birth of Jesus took place compared to how Matthew records it. Matthew's account is very brief and leaves out many of the details that Luke includes. But Matthew does include some facts about Jesus' birth that are different and that are important. And part of the reason for the difference is this. Matthew, when he originally wrote his gospel, was writing for a Jewish audience. And so he wanted to zero in especially on how this Messiah was going to be the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Savior. Especially in this account, one prophecy in particular, that the Messiah, the Savior, was going to be born of a virgin. And so Matthew zeroes in on that in this account. And he also talks more about the role of Joseph. Now, sometimes we don't really think too much about the role of Joseph when it comes to Jesus' birth. After all, he wasn't Jesus' real father. But what Matthew relates here does give us a little glimpse into the importance of Joseph's role when it comes to the birth of Jesus. This evening, let's take a look at how Jesus is born miraculously with Joseph's help. What's important to note, first of all, is that Joseph did not divorce his wife. Why would he have done that? Well, his betrothed was found to be pregnant before they had started living together. Now, in biblical times, entering into marriage was different from the way we're used to it today. When you were betrothed, that was more than what our modern-day engagement is. When a couple was betrothed, they had actually already made promises to each other. Then they waited a specified amount of time and then started living together. And it was at that point that they were considered to be fully man and wife, husband and wife. But even before Mary and Joseph started living together, the text says that Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now imagine the shock that Joseph must have felt when he found this out, that his betrothed was pregnant, and he knew he wasn't the father. Joseph, her husband, was an honorable man and did not want to disgrace her, so he decided to divorce her secretly. Now, in our culture, in our society, it seems perhaps that Joseph is being a little bit old-fashioned, maybe a little bit quaint in his beliefs. It's hard today to find that many people that get all that upset or all that worried about a baby that is conceived out of wedlock. But you have to consider the society, the culture in which Joseph and Mary lived. They were still under the old covenant, God's old covenant. And in Deuteronomy 22, it spells out very distinctly what was supposed to happen to a young lady who was betrothed and then found by her husband not to be a virgin. It says, "Then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death because she has committed an act of folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house." That was the law. Now, whether or not that was going to be enforced in every case is another question, but Joseph didn't want to take any chances. He did not want to disgrace Mary, did not want to put Mary and her baby at the risk of death, and so he decided he would just divorce her secretly so that the whole story didn't have to come out. How often do we find ourselves in a position where we can demonstrate such concern for others, especially the reputation of someone else, and choose not to? Are we too willing to expose other people's problems, to gossip with the best of them? Sometimes we get a kick out of doing that. We enjoy spreading stories around about other people. It's hard to keep our mouths shut at times. But you have to weigh what's going to happen. You have to weigh the consequences, the potential consequences of your telling those stories, of your gossiping with what is going to happen in terms of your own satisfaction. And then we need to take the example of Joseph and be concerned more about the reputation of others first. Joseph also played a role in Jesus being born miraculously because he listened to what the angel told him. After Joseph had thought about it, had thought about divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home with you, for her child is from the Holy Spirit." What a relief in many ways that had to have been for Joseph to know that this child was conceived in a miraculous way. The angel continued, "She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When someone was named in biblical times, many times, most times, that name actually meant something. For example, Adam simply means man. Abraham, the father of many nations. And so when Joseph heard the angel tell him that he was to name this baby Jesus, he knew exactly what that meant. He knew who this child was going to be. You see, Jesus in Greek is really just the Hebrew, or the Greek version of the Hebrew Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. And just as the Joshua, the Yeshua of the Old Testament, led his people into the promised land, so also this Yeshua was to lead his people into the promised land of heaven. That's why Jesus came, to live that perfect life, to offer that perfect life as a sacrifice for our sins, so that he could open up the gates of heaven, the very gates of the promised land. Death reigned no more once Jesus had completed his work. He had indeed fulfilled his name of saving us. And then there's also included in Matthew's account the seal of truth on this strange statement that the child in Mary's womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Here he quotes from Isaiah, a prophecy about the Messiah. "Look, the virgin will conceive and have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, when this promise was made to God's Old Testament people, it was a promise of the Lord's safekeeping. It was a sign to let them know that no matter what was going to happen to them, God was still in charge. He was still with them. And that's why the child's name was to be God with us. This is part of the miracle of Jesus' birth, that the Almighty, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, could be with us, could be one of us, taking on our flesh. With God as one of us, how can we fail? And God is still with us. He's still with us in his word as he brings us encouragement, as he brings us comfort. He's still with us in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. When he comes and gives us new life, when he comes and gives us forgiveness of our sins, his presence for us is just as real as it was for Mary and Joseph and that seeing that little baby lying in the manger. Again, Joseph listened to the angel. He took his wife home with him but did not have relations with her until she had a son, and he named him Jesus. Now this is where, humanly speaking, Joseph gets some of the credit for Jesus being born miraculously as planned. Instead of exposing Jesus and Mary to possible death, he faithfully obeyed the Lord and he took Mary home as his wife. And then just to make sure that there was no question as to who the father was. Joseph, it says, did not have relations with her until after Jesus had been born. As we continue to prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior, we marvel at its miraculous nature. We can't begin to understand how Jesus can become us, how can God take on human flesh. We can't understand how he could be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. But we know that that's exactly what happened. God's word makes it very clear that that's what happened. We know that Jesus had to be born of a virgin, not just to fulfill Old Testament prophecy, but so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So this evening we give thanks to Jesus for his incarnation, for him taking on our flesh. And we also give thanks for Joseph and for his role in Jesus' miraculous birth. Amen.